Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You have two options. This is option number one.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio, option number one. You text us at 877-282-2337 with a question, a comment, a conundrum, or snark. Or you can use your phone, option number two, to call in your neighbor as committing a hate crime. At least if you live in Washington State. Hi-yo. Washington Governor Inslee signed a bill to create a state-run hotline so residents can report hate crimes and bias incidents. We've never seen anything like that in any other fascist society. I wonder how they came up with that. Your choice. You do have options. You can exercise calling in your neighbor, reporting them as committing a hate crime, whatever that means. Or 877-282-2337.
Which is what Lance did. He texted in. And Todd, recently you talked about, this was last week's show, about listening to hymns written by non-Christian artists. And in your answer, you mentioned Horatio Spafford and that he had apothecized. I've heard this before.
Apothecized?
That's what he said.
Apostatized.
Apostatized. That's what I meant. That's what he said.
Well, sorry, I became a pharmacist. That wasn't even a dad joke, but you found it amusing. It kind of was a dad joke, though, wasn't it?
It kind of
was.
That
would be why you're busting a gut. All righty. So I know. I see. Here's what he's going to say, that I used the wrong name. Because, let's see, it is well with my soul. That was Horatio Spafford.
Right, right. No, well, he was just wondering if that was true. He had heard it before, but he wasn't sure if it was true.
Actually, I got an email. This is from Isaac. Actually, a number of people tagged me on this. Not that I was wrong. I'm a talk show host. Todd, you said that Horatio Spafford was apostatized in his diet. See how easy that was to do that?
I'm sorry.
It wasn't him. It wasn't he. It was Robert Robinson who wrote Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Horatio Spafford wrote the great Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. That's a lovely hymn. It's Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. The one particular line that I cited was prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. The reason was the author, not Horatio Spafford, but Robert Robinson, was becoming a Unitarian. He was feeling like, I don't even know if God exists. And he put it into his song, and we sing it to this day. Now, you can sing that line if you're comfortable with it. I'm not. I find myself just going, no, I wouldn't even want to open a crack on that door. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's the last thing that I want to do. I want to be closer to my God. I want to love my God more. And when that line comes up, I just stand there. I don't even mouth it. Just can't. I can't do it. Now, because this particular fellow, 50, 60 years ago, became a pharmacist, does that mean that we can't sing that song? I think we can, because nobody's going to go to the Robert Robinson systematic theology textbook to become a Unitarian who just about got kicked out. And so I think we can sing songs from long dead heretics. But I would say this, I understand the argument that if you're going to be consistent, you shouldn't sing a song from anybody that you know is a heretic. So for instance, one time, I go to the YouTube machine. I wanted to find something. It's like, oh, that looks great. That's the type of arrangement. It looks like they have a pipe organ. So I'm singing along and it finishes, and I look at my YouTube machine, and I'm singing along with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Ah! I don't want to do that because it's Mormonism. By the way, did you see the fellow is suing the Mormon Church because his gifts, he believes, went into more commercial endeavors than spiritual activities? Must have been a big giver because he says they used his money to build a shopping mall and bail out a business because the Mormons, very active investors. And so he's suing them. My favorite part about the article is the response from the Mormon Church. No, we did not use this man's money for those things. We used other tithes. Oh, okay. So I guess your hands are clean on that one. This is just another exposure of the Mormon Church. It is a money-making machine, and I'm telling you where they're using a lot of those funds. It is on the internet. Go ahead, Google a theological subject. Go ahead, ask a religious question. The Mormons, I would almost bet Jimmy's Fortune, top five answers every single time. And when I found myself singing along with the Mormons, I was like, no. Now, if I hadn't known, no problem. But I just think that we don't need to be singing along with heretics. Thank you for correcting Jimmy. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Henry. Todd, can a born-again believer who is not baptized take part in communion?
Can you? Well, sure. Should you? I personally don't think so. Hold on a sec. Jimmy! Do you have any pan flute music we could play?
Pan flute. Got some bagpipes here.
Oh, I'm back. Let's let's not do that. I was just reading through the Didache. It's not very long. The Christian History Institute, they have it available online for free. A Christian manual, if you will, kind of like church polity, written before 300 AD. It was not formalized and included in the canon of scripture, but it was close. There were a lot of people who thought that it should be. I got to tell you, when I read it, I go, no, no. And it's not just because of some of the theological discrepancies I would have with it. It's just, I know this sounds goofy, but I'm telling you, when the original codifiers that stated, when all branches of the Christian church said, these books, these 20-some, that's it, all in total agreement. One of the standards that they used, believe it or not, was feelings, that there's just some of these, but they don't feel like the Bible. And when I read through the Didache last night, it just doesn't feel like the Bible. And they broke this thing. The Didache contained instructions for Christian groups. It was a catechism. It had four different parts. And the first one was the two ways. You can live a godly way, the Psalm 1, the first half of Psalm 1, or you can live an ungodly way. But then it gets into church polity, and let not your fast be with our... They basically said that you should not be taking communion until you're baptized. That was from the Didache. Again, not scripture, but instructive. Here it is. Thanksgiving. I got it. Let no one eat or drink of your thanksgiving. That's what they called the Lord's table. Don't let anybody eat or drink of it, but they who have been baptized into the name of the Lord. For concerning this also, the Lord has said, give not that which is holy to the dogs. All right, now, they might just mean saved, baptized into the name of the Lord. Now, that's a Pauline way in Corinthians of saying that you are saved. You have been baptized into Jesus, immersed with him. Or it could mean getting dunked in the water. Regardless, there are some denominations that would say the first ordinance, it is baptism. And if you do not obey the first command, you should not be partaking of the second ordinance of the church, which is the Lord's table. Would I split with somebody over this? No. Do I tend to lean toward baptism first, then communion? I do. Why not? And the question that I think you should ask if you haven't been baptized is the exact same question. Why not? Why don't you want to be baptized? Why are you delaying? What is stalling? Whatever it is, it's probably a big deal because it's an obvious command. You get saved and you get baptized. That is what we are supposed to do immediately or as quickly as we can. We see that in Acts chapter 2. They heard preaching from Peter. They were convicted, cut to the heart. What must we do to be saved? They were to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and then be baptized. That is clearly what the Greek language states. That was the order. And then they were added to the church. There are some denominations who would say you can't be a member of the church until you are baptized. Because to refuse to be baptized, now, I understand circumstances, I understand timing, I get that. But if you are willfully refusing to be baptized, that's to live in a state of rebellion. That's a sin. We're commanded, get dunked. And if you're not willing to do that, you should ask, why not? And you need to sort that and you need to go address that. Is it embarrassment? Okay, then you got to repent of that too. Because Jesus never was ashamed to hang out with sinners. Why would we ever feel ashamed to be identified with him through the waters of baptism? No, is it I'm not sure that I'm actually a Christian. You definitely want to deal with that issue. So figure out why you don't want to be baptized and then find yourself a jacuzzi and get dunked. And go take communion. This is Wretched Radio.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Protz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we cover your prayers even more. Wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Know your church fathers. Clement of Rome lived from AD 30 to 100, was a student of the Apostle Peter, and served as the Bishop of Rome. He wrote a letter to the troubled church in Corinth, warning against envy and immorality. emphasizing humility and repentance. His letter continued to be read during worship services for 80 years. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To quote or not to quote? That's my question. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping you will send whatever to idea@wretched.org and questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337. I'm holding between my never-before nicotine-stained fingers a copy of the Didache. This was an early church catechism. How to do things in the church. It is not inspired, therefore it is not authoritative, it is merely instructive. But inside of this document, chapter 9, it actually gives the Thanksgiving prayer that is offered with what they would call Thanksgiving. We call it the Lord's table. Roman Catholic Church would call it the Eucharist because they believe that grace actually comes through the elements. This is what they prayed. And my question is, would this be something that we could pray inside of the church today? I think it is a magnificent idea to go back and find documents that are sound that we repeat today, not just the Apostles and Nicene Creeds, catechism questions, confessional statements, so that we can remember, oh yeah, we're connected to that. There's a lot of people who don't get that sense. So what do? They run to the Catholic Church. Candace Owens! Sorry. Because they feel like, oh, this is connecting me way back. No, you're connected way back. There have been Orthodox, smaller Orthodox believers always inside of the church. And when we fail to go back, cite them, quote them, reference them, or potentially pray like them, oh, I think it's such a great loss for so many reasons, starting with that connectivity. You mean, I believe the same thing that people believed 1,800 years ago? Whoa. You're telling me that they said that creed for centuries? Whoa. I'm a part of something bigger. I think another fruit, I wouldn't use this as my sales pitch, but they were smarter and more reverential than we are. Listen to this prayer that was offered up at the Eucharist, and listen to how smart it is, how biblical it is, how not casual it is. I got to tell you, so we're going to take communion. So this is something, you know, that we've got to do. So let's just pray. God, that we're here today. And, you know, I know the people want to get out for the football game, but we're gonna take some time here to do this as quickly as we possibly can. Now, to commemorate stuff. Amen. Duh. Those casual prayers. I once heard a worship leader after you know, the lights are dimmed and, oh, we got the synthesizer going. This is what the worship leader, which, by the way, I think needs to be redefined. But this worship leader said, let's pray. Lord, I just don't even know what to say. Then stop praying and do some preparing. Listen to this prayer and ask yourself the question, would this be something, because it is not in any sort of ratified document of the church, but nevertheless is what was used in the early church, something that perhaps we could pray at communion time? Jimmy, give this a listen. See what you think. Father, we thank you for the Holy Vine of David, your servant, which you made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. And concerning the broken bread, we thank you, our Father, for the life and knowledge which you made known to us through Jesus, your servant. To you be the glory forever. Even as this broken bread was scattered over the hills and was gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power through Jesus Christ, forever. And then they offer a prayer after communion. And that's good praying right there.
Yeah.
And our brothers and sisters, thousands of, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of them, what you just heard, okay, not in English, they prayed that. Then they took the Lord's table. Whoa. If you're listening, Candace, Send stuff to 877-282-2337. Jimmy, can I toss in a quick announcement?
Absolutely.
Would you like to be a part of the GPM family? This ministry is seeking a person to be in ministry with us. You say, what's with the couch language? It's not couch language. We're hiring for a position in video production, looking for somebody who can do shooting, even set up shoots, do post-production work. But that's not who we're looking for. You possess those skills, but we're looking for somebody who wants to be in ministry. That for here are the boxes that need to be checked to work at least inside of this ministry. Number one, you have a credible profession of faith. You are a born-again believer. You love the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, you're committed to ministry. You aren't looking for a production job. You're not looking for a radio job. You don't want a TV job. You want to be in ministry. And this is what we do at the ministry. That sounds like you. Please visit wretched.org/hiring. Wretched.org/hiring. All the details are right there. Saved with a desire to be in ministry. And you know, as long as you're at wretched.org, don't forget we got the $250,000 matching gift campaign going on for our new initiative. Go learn about it. It's massive, and it's just part one. Starting to prepare for phase two. We'd love it if you'd partner with us, dollar for dollar match right now, so that we can launch this initiative and then kick phase two into gear in 2025. Can't wait to tell you about that, but we would love it if you would partner with us and then send stuff to idea@wretched.org.
You didn't tell them one of the biggest benefits to working here, working with me.
Well, that is.
Without saying.
But see, if we don't want to put that out publicly. If that's inside of somebody's heart, we can get biblical counseling for them and they can still work here.
All right. This comes from Steve. Todd, have there been any studies that you know about done on the long-term effects of egalitarianism?
Egalitarianism. As the Methodists are in their conference right now.
Yeah. He's just wondering where the slippery slope leads.
Oh, it leads to LGBTQ. That's where it leads. Then, and we've seen that. We have empirical data. It's called the ELCA. It's called the United Methodist Church. By the way, props to all of those who are still in that denomination fighting, and props to all of those who left to form a more conservative Methodist body. But the UMC, it always begins with the role of women, always. And then it eventually moves to sexual issues. How? It's hermeneutics. If you can take a clear verse like 1 Timothy 2:12, and you can make it say the exact opposite of what it obviously says, then you can use that mechanism to take what is so clear in Scripture about sexual issues, one man, one woman, marriage, intimacy, genders, and you can make it say whatever you want to. And that's what we've seen. ELCA, with the Presbyterian Church, United States of America, not America, but United States of America. It is classic, and it's definitive. Do not crack open the door. In fact, recently just received a couple of emails from people asking the question about women as worship leaders. I direct you to cbmw.org. They treat that subject in a great deal of detail. But what about women being up on the platform? It appears that they're doing some leading. Well, I would say this personally, that the worship leader, and this is why I think the term needs to be redefined, if it is a woman who is simply helping us get our cues, that's not the type of authority that I think Paul is after in 1 Timothy 2:12. That's helping us to worship the Lord. Now, if a female worship leader starts praying, starts teaching, which I don't understand why that has to happen so much these days. It's really amazing. I see this all the time, and I have to confess, I'm like, what are the creds of that worship leader? Is what sort of theological trend? Why are they talking and teaching? Play your guitar and sing the song. That's leading the worship, if you will. And that's why I would say, let's just come up with a different name for worship leader, something more along the lines of worship conductor, supporter, person. Something, you know, something like that, that doesn't have that authority element to it. Now, having said all of that, so for instance, at Alpharetta Bible Church, oh, and it was so good on Sunday. The three ladies, they sang Laura's stories, some blessing. It's called Blessings. What if your blessings come in raindrops? Oh, so good. And they were up on the platform. They sang. Some people were singing along, even though they weren't supposed to. Ruining the whole thing, singing along like that. And you could say, were they exercising authority over the church? No, they were enhancing worship for the delight and the edification of the body. But that wasn't, I think, assuming a role of authority. Having said that, if you're nervous about it, I think having a male that if you're going to do the talking and the praying, I would say then that should be restricted to males. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Recently, a powerful and pretty emotional video was released of a father in California who expressed frustration and anger over biological males being allowed to compete against girls in school sports. His daughter, who's a talented athlete, was forced to pull out of her favorite race because of a boy who identifies as a girl had been dominating the competition. Of course he has. He's a boy competing against girls. I wonder how he stacks up against other boys. The father pointed out the reality of the vast biological differences between males and females. He called for an end to policies that discourage girls and take away their opportunities, which is exactly what this is. And as we turn to education news, the Biden administration has set its sights on shutting down one of America's largest Christian universities because, well, that's just what communists do. You can call them whatever you want to. That's pretty much what they're trying to be. Grand Canyon University is the college they're trying to shut down. In a House Appropriations Committee meeting, Educational Secretary Miguel Cardona vowed to crack down on what he called predatory schools, despite the fact that GCU is a nonprofit institution recognized as such by the IRS and the state of Arizona. The Department of Education has refused to acknowledge GCU's nonprofit status, fining them over $30 million for allegedly being unclear about grad school costs. Given that the administration also just fined Liberty University $14 million, the targeting of large and growing Christian schools, raising some eyebrows, yeah? It should, and it should cause us to wonder if the real reason is because these schools are conservative and Christian. A fair question to ask. And disturbingly, it appears like the Biden administration, pretty much everything I say about the Biden administration is going to be disturbing. It appears that this administration is gearing up to declare an official climate emergency. Pretty much what they've been parroting for years, but an official climate emergency could lead to a vast government overreach and further erosion of our freedoms. As I said, for years, Democrats have been pushing for a declaration such as this, which would give the executive branch a sweeping power to cripple the fossil fuel industry, banning exports, killing drilling leases, and more. The lockdowns of COVID showed just how much liberty can be stripped away from us under the guise of a quote-unquote emergency. And if you think it can't get worse, just look up north to Canada. They introduced a bill that would criminalize citizens for promoting fossil fuels or suggesting that they have any benefits. Criminalize citizens for saying something that the government doesn't want to get out. That's communist propaganda, folks. And that's exactly why I called the administration in the beginning of this newscast communist, because that's what they're trying to be. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we go. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you brought up a subject that, oh, I'm happy to engage on this one, about worship leaders.
Yes.
You like it when?
Well, I like a worship leader who will, I won't say teach, but will give you the history of the hymn. And if it's pertinent, you know, I don't want him to be long-winded or whatever.
Why not?
Well, because that's...
If it's a regulated element, why doesn't he take up 30 minutes explaining Horatio Spafford's and is well with my soul?
Yeah, I don't want all of that. But one that'll say, you know, that talks and is well-rounded. But I will also say that I prefer a worship guy that's also an elder in the church, so is qualified to do that.
Okay, but specifically the issue, though, of the introduction of the hymn. Horatio Spafford, he was a Chicago businessman going over to Europe, sends the wife and kids ahead. They all die. They drown in the middle of the ocean. He's going over in the boat in about the same place. He writes, "It is well with my soul." And then we begin singing. Which Bible verse indicates that is a regulated element
of
the worship?
There's not one, but I mean, I'm a radio guy. I like history of music, though. So.
I do, too. I love that stuff. But here's why. Like, I don't think it's a sin. I'm not a fan of it. I don't think that I was willing to go that far. But I'm not a fan of it because it takes the spotlight off of the Lord onto a man or woman who wrote something great that we appreciate. And I shouldn't appreciate God more or the hymn more, or certainly the hymn writer more, because I know the backstory. It should be the lyrics that direct my attention to the Lord. And I just personally think that's a distraction from that, and it isn't a regulated element. This just food for thought for you. This is just a decision that we made at Alpharetta Bible Church. Every church is distinct, and I don't think that we should be getting into a ruckus over some of these things. What we decided to do was take all of the regulated elements and present those without any sort of interference or any sort of additions. Just present them. Now, for instance, let's just say we were reading last week. We read the great story about Nahum. It's one of my favorite stories from the Old Testament. He was a captain of the guard in Aram up in Syria, and he had leprosy. And you want to talk about God's providence? You want to talk about God using very bad things for extremely good eternal results? Well, here's an example. Naaman is up north. He's the captain of the guard. He's a big deal. He has leprosy. He has a servant girl who was kidnapped from Israel and brought up there. Okay, there's a tragedy. She says, you know, there's a guy in Israel who could heal you. So he packs up all of his stuff, and it mentions changes of clothing, and down he goes. And he goes to the king. The king thinks, hey, this is some sort of conspiracy. So he gets directed to Elisha. And so Elisha does not come out of the house when the hotshot arrives, who stays on his horse, sends the servants to, boss man is out here, need to heal him. And Elisha said, you tell him to go down to the river, dip himself in the water 7 times. That's what he needs to do. And he was furious. Why? His claim was that there are better rivers where I come from. Why would I go into that dirty Jordan River? And his servant said, I'm paraphrasing, get off your high horse. Do what you're told. He went down into the river, dipped, and he came up. His skin was like that of a child's because he was humble. He humbled himself. That's the moral of that story. But don't we see two instances of God's wonderful providence in very difficult circumstances? The Jewish girl who was kidnapped, this led a man to salvation. That's, wow! Second, do you think that this fellow, Naaman, captain of the guard, if he could look back and say, all right, here's the option. I have skin disease, and because of that, I have eternal life. Or I'd go back, have no skin disease, and forfeit eternal life. There is not a chance he would give up eternity with his Savior. Not a chance. And so we see in that story, look at God working inside of these people. So we're going to read that on Sunday morning. Did we do the setup for it to explain the text? Yes, but I would also say that is biblical. That's Ezra. We explaining Nehemiah, explaining the text. That's explaining the hymn. I wouldn't call it a sin. I just think that it isn't regulated, and it does it points us away from what we're supposed to be doing. So the challenge would be this: think of the regulated elements, and then ask, is there anything that we're doing in this service that kind of moves away from that? You're going to think this is nutty. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wouldn't, but you're going to think this is nutty. When I go up to preach on Sunday, I'm telling you, my heart, and I do it, and I there's a part of me that feels bad about it. You're going to laugh. I say good morning. And I feel kind of like, oh, should I have said that? Because, well, good morning. What are you doing? We're not greeting each other. We're in worship together. And this is an element that I get to participate in. Do that. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, none of those greetings, no chit-chat. Hey, everybody, it's great to be with you. What a lot. Hey, aren't you glad we're put through pollen season? All of that stuff gone. I even struggle with good morning. It's just that it just seems so natural. Examine your church service. The stuff that goes on in between, is it necessary? Does it detract? Does it rob? And is it regulated? Well, did I persuade you otherwise?
Basically, you're saying I'm not saved.
Pretty much. 877-282-337.
All right, this is from Ben.
Oh, yeah, Ben.
He says, Todd, how do you advise a single man who desires a family, but is pursuing a woman for marriage who is outside of fertility years?
Yeah.
How would you advise him?
Well, there's so many details that are kind of, so basically, he the younger man?
Yeah, so basically, Ben, I think the way I gathered from the entire email was that he has a friend who does desire a family, but yeah, he is pursuing a woman who yeah is much older and outside of that. And so he's...
Okay, the fertility thing, personally, I would not see a problem with it to marry a woman or a man. Fertility goes both ways here. That isn't able to make babies. You just need to know that, be aware of that, and fully accept that. Because being fertile is not what makes a good spouse a good spouse. Can't find that Bible verse even in Proverbs 31. Now, the age thing is a little different. Again, I can't find a Bible verse that says if you're 20 and you're dating somebody who's what, 32, 35, 37, 44, that it's a sin. I can't find that. But I do believe we can employ some wisdom. And there's enough history of couples. Now, there are plenty of people who had a wide variance in ages that made it work. It's true. But you need to understand, it is not a sin to marry somebody who is substantially older or younger than you, but you do need to be aware it will bring in some unique challenges, in addition to all of the other challenges that every single married couple goes through. You're going to be dealing with money. You're going to be dealing with habits. You're going to be dealing with customs. You're going to be dealing with spiritual issues and age discrepancy. You say, but we get along really great. Please note that that might be, and I would not call it a sin to pursue that, but you do need to know that during courting, dating, that ain't marriage. Second of all, as the years change, the age discrepancy, the differences become more stark. It can sometimes work when, you know, for instance, there's a 10-year discrepancy. And that works okay because of what the two ages are. But what about when one is 65 and now one is 75? It's just a dynamic that you need to be aware of that will bring about some challenges. There will also be some maturity issues. I'm sorry, if we believe that with gray hair comes wisdom, that means this progression in gaining wisdom is a lifelong endeavor. That if somebody is 10 years older, they're 10 years smarter. They've done 10 years of adulting that you haven't done. They're going to be wiser. They're going to be more mature. And it's going to be felt. Furthermore, activities preferences, how much exercising you do or don't do, how you do vacations. I want to go climb that mountain. Kind of want to just sit in a chair and chill. You're just gonna discover that those age differences will bring about some things that will just add to the stress of a regular marriage. Now, having said all of that, does that mean that you can't pursue it? No, but I would engage others. And if you've got a chorus of voices of godly people going, you know, it's going to be so hard, and I know it's all heady right now. I would be willing to suggest you should probably heed their advice. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. As you know, we're living in a time where the foundations of our society are crumbling. Truth is being exchanged for lies, but we at Gospel Partners Media refuse to sit back and watch it happen. That's why we're building a Christian version of the Daily Wire. And we're not just talking about it, we're doing it. We're bringing in 8 new powerful voices to invade Christian media with the truth of God's Word. But here's the thing, we need your help in order to make this happen. We're currently in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign, which means every dollar you're able to give will be doubled. And look, we all know times are tough, money is tight, but this is much more than just another donation. It's about investing in the future of our faith, our families, and our world. So if you're currently in a place right now in your life that you can give to this initiative, we would greatly appreciate the partnership. You can find out more right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today. But just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're circling back to the hymn singing explanation sin?
No.
Or to the age discrepancies? This is Wretched Radio. What? You said, well, we're coming back to that one. Yeah. Which one?
Well, Ben's question about marrying the older woman.
Yeah.
So his question necessarily wasn't about that.
Oh.
So he has a friend who desires a family. His friend does want children.
Uh-huh.
But the woman he's pursuing.
Well, you didn't tell me any of that.
I thought I did. So the woman he's pursuing
Yeah, you thought you did, but you want explanations for hymns in church. So how am I supposed to believe you have any credibility whatsoever?
I got lesions. All right. So the woman he is pursuing for marriage can have children, but Ben knows that his friend wants children. So he's wanting to know how is he supposed to talk to him, because he doesn't think it is a good idea.
Well, they might be having conversations about other means of having children, like adoption. And if that fellow is like, oh, yeah, okay, so we're not going to have bio children. We're going to adopt children. I don't think that's the issue. Again, let's separate the age and the fertility issue, because I think they're two distinct things. The fertility issue is it's not wrong if you marry somebody who isn't fertile. But if you know that in advance, well, that's going to play into your decision making. If it's like, no, I gotta have bio children. I've always longed for that. And your spouse, male or female, can't. Well, then you just need to weigh that, and you need to bring in wisdom, because your heart is going to be ripped and torn and all over the place. Bring in wisdom for those types of decisions. And if this particular fellow is like, hey, adoption, rock on, that's cool, then I say, not a problem. If that guy must have bio children and she can't, well, that desire, a perfectly fine desire, is going to be stymied. And that will bring an awful lot of into your marriage. That's a big deal. Look, there are certain things that are just so massive that they will be a lifelong struggle. Having children is one of them. That is one of those boxes that you need to check. You need to be on the same page. You're dating somebody and they're like, hey, I want to beat the Duggars. And you're like, I was thinking like maybe none or one or two. Get that sorted. That will be nothing but division. It will not bring you together. It will be a perpetual pulling in the opposite direction of one another. And that I think you need to get that sorted before you say I do. Now, are we happy?
We are.
All right. Now let's get back to this hymn business. Did I persuade you?
Yes.
You did. You don't patronize me.
Well, let's move on.
Alrighty.
This is from Hans. This is a good question. I think we don't think a lot about, but I think there's something to it. He's wondering, Todd, we recently had a prospective pastor visit our church. He's a bit of a larger guy. Is that a legitimate thing to mention?
Gotta know how much bitter of a larger guy we're talking about.
He used the word obese.
Oh, well, I don't even know what that means for sure these days. And I don't know what the guides are, what have you. All right, the weight issue is one that needs to be dealt with thoughtfully, not because of the world pressure. I think there, is it called fat shaming? Mm. Okay. Well, the reality is the Bible speaks about the subject, and the Bible does have a word to speak about the subject of gluttony. Does the Bible speak about body mass index? Not directly. I think it's a reasonable application that we should be doing our best to take care of these temples. Our bodies are amazing. I was reading in a Mike Abendroth book two nights ago about blood. You know, you've got like 1.3 gallons of blood in your body, and it's gonna, like, if for all of the pumping that your heart does, all the blood that gets pumped, it takes 45 seconds for a drop of blood to make its way from heart all the way through the system and then back again, and all of that pumping, I think some mathematician came up with, that's akin to like 17 Grand Canyons full of blood that your heart, wow, amazing. And how many times your heart beats, like over a billion times? What other man-made sort of device do we have that can do something a billion times and perform in sustaining something so complex? The body is amazing. And with that, we should be taking care of it. Now, the amount of time, this is all discretionary. How much you dedicate to it, it can become an obsession and an idol, but you don't want to be neglecting it either. What that looks like for each individual is a different thing. So I do believe that there needs to be some consideration about the way that we present ourselves in light of how we take care of the temple. But I think that there's a second consideration, and that is the issue of gluttony. is the reason for the obesity because of overindulgence. And it's a sin where it is a sin issue. Now, there are some people who are just bigger and it's not a sin. They don't eat in a gluttonous fashion. Food is not an idol. They have control over it, but they're just big. That's why they're just genetically bigger. We need to be mindful of that. But if somebody is overweight, obesely, because of gluttony, that would be an issue like any other sin that you discovered before calling a pastor that would need to be addressed. But I think that there's a third issue, and that is testimony. What does the world think about when they see a pastor who is, I'll just use the words from the emailer, obese? It's a testimony, speaks, says something. What does it say to the congregation? Now, you could respond and say, well, it shouldn't say anything because they don't know what's going on. And the guy, it could be because he's having to take some sort of medicine for a health issue and a steroid, and it causes him to be. I grant you that it's true. But nevertheless, it still needs to be considered. What is the testimony? What does it say to the people of the body and the people outside of the body? How do you render a verdict? Thoughtfully, carefully, prayerfully, lovingly, trying your best to sort through these issues. But sort through them, I think that is entirely valid. You agree?
I do. I think it, I agree with exactly what you said. I think you, I know you're crying because I agree with you.
We agree at all. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think it does say something about testimony. It says something too about, if it is gluttonous, it says something about the ability to lead and discipline.
Sure. Of course, yeah, it does. It speaks a word. There's no question about it. But let's remember, though, just for yucks, so that we remember the testimony issue. This runs both ways. What about Pastor Steroid? What about Pastor Pumped Up?
Mm-hmm.
The dude who's like ripped, that's a testimony too. Sorry, that speaks loudly. I hear that shout, look at me! Look at me! Or it's screaming, I'm fighting death, or I idolize youth, and so I need to look like I'm totally pumped up. That speaks a word too.
Mm-hmm.
So a pastor, all of us, it's not just the pastor, it's all of us. We need to be mindful about our testimonies, which is why in Wretched Worldview 1 and 2, that is one of the criteria that we have for determining a biblical worldview. That is something that can feel a little nebulous, but it nevertheless is important. If I do this, what does it say? What does it communicate? Because everything does. It either speaks a good word about our Savior or a bad one, and it is never a bad idea to sort through it. 877-282-2337.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, oh, here it comes.
He thought we were going to get out. Did you know what? You know what kind of lights were on the ark? You know, they had electricity back then.
Okay, hold on. Just hold on. What kind of lights were on the... I don't know, Jimmy. What kind of lights were on the ark?
Floodlights.
Now you have two things to repent for. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is from Z. He texted in and asked, what does the phrase... I think he's talking about me because I say this a lot. What does the phrase, we covet your prayers, really mean?
It means I'd like you to pray for me. Mm-hmm. That would be really great. I love that. I don't hate that phrase.
Right.
It'd probably become a little bit cliche. And I also... Don't say you're gonna if you're not. Don't say, oh, hey, absolutely. In fact, I might even suggest do it now. Do it on the spot. You know what? Forget that. Let's just pray right now. Or wait, you know what? I'm going to go to a place where it doesn't look dorky, and I'm going to do that praying for you right now. And speaking of prayer, was reading this Mike Abendroth book, which I'll share with you more later because it's a keeper. And he was talking about what you might be, if you're sick and people come to visit you and those conversations can feel like, oof, they're just, you know, there's that thing in the air and what do we say? Here's something that you can say. Now, you can also say this if you're the visitor. Can I pray for you or would you pray for me? Or you could say if you're struggling and some of the side effects of your medication are causing you to be fatigued, would you read the Bible for me? What excellent advice that is. And that gives you something literally to do. Furthermore, if you're the sick person, don't forget ministering can go both ways. You can be ministered to and still minister even when you're struggling. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.